Blog Talk Radio.
Commission
I am ordered to carry out God's gospel according to his word. So I'm intending to carry out his itinerary to the utmost of my ability. Hallelujah. And so I will be with you 45 minutes on the clock tonight. And so before we go into any further ado, I would just ask those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we acknowledge the one and the only Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that is a name above all names. And I tell you, I had the privilege of going out and seeing the new movie, Sons of God, on the weekend, accompanied by my little granddaughter. And so I tell you, I just enjoyed myself. I wept, I sure did, because it was so moving and it was so impressive. And it was just, I tell you, God really used those people that really produced that movie. I tell you, if I was the judge, I would give them an Oscar for sure. But I'll tell you, I was just so overwhelmed with, you know, just the horrific ordeal that our Lord and Savior had to suffer on our behalf. But, you know, I am here to tell you that he's no longer on that cross. He's no longer in that tomb. He is sitting up in glory land, up in heaven, sitting on the right-hand side of his Father on tonight. So before we go into any further preliminaries, as I first stated, I'm asking those of you that will to bow your heads as we go down and reference God on tonight. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. Hallelujah. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity once again around this spectrum, God. Father God, for we know that this place is not our home, this earthly place is not our home, God. And we know that you have lying in wait, God, a mansion that's not built by the hand of man, but you are its builder, God. And I just thank you, God, because you're so gracious to just make this possible for me to come across these airways and unite around this globe with the people of God, people that love God, love everything about God, living holy. And I'll tell you, and they're not going to do anything less but live the sanctification lifestyle before man and God. And so, God, until you crack that cloud one historic day, God, we will be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land, God. And I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins, God. Father God, I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom for those that are hurting deep within their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And we, as a combined people of God, shall say, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. And like I first stated, I just thank you that was able to tune in on tonight. And I'll tell you, God is going to definitely bless you for being a blessing. Because, you know, I get joy out of knowing, you know, that people love God. And they love to hear the goodness of Jesus, you know. They love to hear God's word being ministered to its true entirety. And so I'm going to come before your presence tonight. Hallelujah. And so our sermon entitled tonight is called Happiness and Holiness. And we will be taking our key scripture from the law of Hebrews 12 and 14, and it reads like this, and it says, pursue peace with all people, and holiness without, which no one will see the Lord. And that's coming, as I first stated, out of the law of Hebrews 12 and 14. Hallelujah. And we know that there are people all around the world, hallelujah, that are constantly looking for the better items, whether buying fruits in a market or choosing a place to live. We examine and ponder, we compare, and finally make a choice. We make that choice based on what we believe is better. And I can't imagine anyone saying that I'm convinced this one is the worst, so I'll take it. But we find out that in the book of Proverbs, it is filled with a comparison that points us toward the right pathway in this life. Because, hallelujah, the books and the purpose is to give the reader knowledge and wisdom based on the fear of God. And it's not surprising to find statements saying this is better than that. In the law of Proverbs 16, we read that it is better to get wisdom than gold or silver. That's verse 16. It says, better to be humble among the poor than to be proud among the wealthy. Verse 19. God said it's better to control our temper than to rule a city. Verse 32. We find out that some people have the ability to be both wise and wealthy at the same time. But when we're faced with a choice between the two, Proverbs say that wisdom is the better alternative. And as we read the book of Proverbs, let us look for those signs that say this is better. When God's word, hallelujah, shapes our thinking and guides our choices, we'll discover that his way, hallelujah, is always better. Not what we have, but what we use. Not what we see, but what we choose. These are the things, hallelujah, that mark or bless the sum of human happiness. And we know that a little wisdom is better than a lot of wealth. Hallelujah. And we also know throughout the ages, and we're talking our sermon tonight, we're talking about happiness and holiness. Hallelujah. And so throughout the ages, we know that holiness has been one of the marks of our church. We know the words from the Apostle Creed that say, I believe, hallelujah, in the Holy Universal Church. Living in a society that emphasizes the welfare of the individual at the expense of the common good. We often lose sight of the fact that we are called not just to live as holy individuals, but also to live as a holy community, centered in God's presence, a community that manifests this truth and action in the world. And hallelujah, an overemphasis on personal holiness without consideration of our life in the community is a corruption of the Christian faith. And we know that holy living is more than just following rules. For in Jesus Christ, we have been set free. And we have been set free from the law. We have been taught by God to let love be our rule. We find out that in the early Christian experience, a pervading sense of the presence of a God who chose them and cared for them both as individuals. And as a community, we know that the Thessalonians, hallelujah, were challenged in three important areas that are expressed in community life. And that is human sexuality, public life. Then you have home. You have work. You have school. And then you have church. And then the private life. You might have small groups. And we know that Paul instructed them in these areas and urged them to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more that's found in the law of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1. What we desperately need today is to recapture a sense of God, a sense of our community life, and an expression of holy living. We know that holy living begins with the desire to be used by God and is reflected in faith and action together in community life. We know that holy living is nurtured in the ministry of God, in the preaching and the teaching, and the caring and sharing of God's saving love in the community of which we are a part. Then we find out that our daily living becomes a witness to the incarnate word, hallelujah, and we are empowered to influence others on a day-to-day basis. In living for God, the one apostolic, holy, and universal Christian community in every place is liberated to hear what the Spirit is saying and to go where the Spirit is leading. We know that community life, as sculptured by God, is indeed an expression, hallelujah, of our holy living. And we also know that in a Harvard University, we find out that one can take a course in happiness. And we know that this was a popular class and that it helped students to discover, as the professor states, how to get happy. Now, we're talking about happiness and holiness. And so we saying that being happy is not a bad idea. And in fact, the Bible even suggests on several occasions the importance of being happy or even joyful. And we know that Solomon tells us that God grants happiness to us as a privilege now. So it's not nothing that we should just say, you know, we are dubious. But God's word lets us know that it is a privilege for us to be happy. Now, you can read in the law of Ecclesiastes 3 and 12 and 7 and 14 on down to 11 and 9. Now, sometimes, though, we take the search for earthly happiness too far. We see it as the most important pursuit, and even believe that our happiness is God's highest goal for us. And that's when our thinking gets confused, because we know that God's word tells us that true happiness comes by keeping God's law. That's found in the law of Psalms 1 and 1 through 2. Then Proverbs 16 and 20 and 29 through 18. We know that God commands holiness and has called us to live a holy life, one that exemplifies his moral character. You can read in the law 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7, and then 2 Peter 3 and 11, and then Peter's first letter. We read, as he who called you is holy, you also must be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's found in 1 Peter 1 and 15 through 16. Now, when we face decisions about the way that we should act or how we should live, we must keep in mind and never let this leave our mindset. We should keep that in mind, that God's command is not to be happy, but God's command is for us, hallelujah, is to be holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then we find out that the word of God tells us that holiness without, no man shall see God. Now that goes for both male and female. But God says, holy without which no man shall see God. Now if you got a lying tongue, you's not going to see God. If you're blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, that's one law that God said in his word that he would not forgive us for. And that's blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Now, I heard some disturbing news today on my Facebook. One of my constituents had shared with me that our granddaughter had been talking to an individual whom said all kind of matter of ugly and just, I mean, awful things about God, you know. And I'll tell you, I don't even want to dare repeat what this individual said because, like I said, it's just ugly. And it's not, it is not nothing that I would want to repeat, but it's something that I would want to do, and that is get down on my knees and pray for this individual. Because without prayer on this young person or middle age or whatever his age might be, it will take, I mean, solid prayer on his behalf for God to come in and deal with this individual because his mind is corrupted. And you know, sometimes God will turn us over to what we call a reprobated mind. And you don't want to be caught in that situation, in that syndrome, is to be cast aside and have a reprobated mind. Because a reprobated mind, let me explain. What a reprobated mind. You said, Overseer Ward, what is an reprobated mind? What do you mean when you say reprobated mind? A reprobated mind is one almost like a crazy person. A reprobated mind in the eyes of God is a mind that has went astray. A mind that is against every doctrine of God that's right, that reprobated mind is against that. And if he can get some followers to go along with this humocracy that he has, if he can get somebody to go along with it, then the more the merrier. But I behoove that person because his end result is death, hell, and damnation. And that person can never get his mind back into the will of God because his mind has been contorted and his mind is confused, is twisted, and I mean, it's just like he hates God. I mean, in other words, he really do. He hates God and everything about God. And so he's going to try to get you on the bandwagon to believe like he's believing. But I would suggest you to tell that lying demon that God is real. God's doctrine is real. Just as sure is the nose is centered in the middle of the structure of our face. God is real. Just as sure as you can utter a word, that is God allowing you and I to speak. If God said, cease speaking, if God said, cease, peace, peace be still, then you and I will cease to speak. It is God's grace and mercy that keeps you and I from day to day. It is God's grace and mercy that God encamped his angelic angels at the various watchtowers to keep an infrared eye on the children of God. And that's you and I. Hallelujah. Because he said in his word, those of us that keep our mind stayed on God. God said, hallelujah, I will keep you in perfect peace. So you don't have to worry about somebody coming in and trying to break into your home, somebody trying to break into your automobile, somebody trying to harm you of any shape, form, or fashion, because God has his angelic angels and Chickenbubby has all of them encamped around about us. And he has put a hedge around us, just like the devil told God that he had put a hedge around Job. You know, you had blessed Job, and, you know, you put a hedge around him, and he's just, you know, prospered in prosperity. And so, but if you would, you know, cause harm or sickness or anything to come upon this man, said, then I am guaranteed. So in other words, I mean, the Satan is going to make a deal with God. So in other words, our adversary, which is Satan, he's going to tell God more about Job than he think God know. And God was the creator of them all, of both of them. But then the devil comes, you know, because he think he's all that in a bag of chips. And so he's going to tell God about the man that he created. And God knew him first. God knew everything about him. God knew what he thought in his head before he could even bring it forth out of his mouth. God knew about it. But he's going to challenge God. I challenge you that if you bring this on him, then he's going to curse you to your face. Well, guess what? He lied, just like he always does. He is a liar. And not only is he a liar, but he is the father of lies. He's the king of the road when it comes to lying. He'll tell you a lie just as quick as rain. He will lie to you because he doesn't care anything about you and I. Our adversary, which his name is Lucifer, and he doesn't care anything about you and I. He wouldn't care if we drop dead. He would not care because he do not like the fact that we are living for God and we are sold out to Christ. He would want us to be sold out, you know, over there in his campground where he's got all of his little angelic imps, you know, all of his hell-raising children that call all kind of harm to our children. You know, everything that's evil, he brought it about. Everything, you know, that you don't want to come to harm us, bring negativity into our children's minds, into the minds of the men and women across the world, that it's not a God. I don't know how a person could think in his mind that there is not a God. Well, who has been keeping you all of this time? Who has kept you from all hurt, harm, or danger? Who has kept you from getting killed in a traffic accident? From a random shooting? From a stabbing? Who has kept you all this time? Is it just your luck, by luck, that you have been saved? Have luck been the cause of your good fortune? Of still being here able to tell the story that you have been through something that maybe you never experienced in your life. But God left you here to be a witness, to give a testimony of God's goodness. We're not just here on purpose, but we are here for a purpose. And that is to do our Father's will. Now, you may not be doing your Father's will, but that is the reason that you're here. You are not here just to get married, just to have a husband, just to give birth and have children, just to get a job, and now you have some work that you can call your workplace, not to just have an automobile, so you can say, I have the keys to my car, I can put the key in ignition, and I can go where I please when I get good and ready. That is not the reason that you are here. You and I are here to be servants of our God. That was the reason that he taketh the 39 stripes across his back. 39 stripes, the Bible says, across his back. Now, in the movie that I just viewed on this past Friday was the opening of the movie, Sons of God. And I think they went a little further than 39 stripes. They went kind of overboard, in other words. But they didn't make the picture plain that even a child could understand. And you wouldn't, a child wouldn't even have to read it, but just look at it. And a child would understand what was taking place just by looking. Because our children, as long as they are innocent, and our children is innocent, I think up until the age of 12, I believe it is, you are responsible for your children's sin. In other words, you carry the burdens of their wrongdoing until they come to the age that they are responsible for their own wrongdoing. And then what I mean by their own wrongdoing is that you'll no longer take responsibility. Say, for instance, if you left your child at home, and matter of fact, just this evening come across the airway about a family that left two little brothers, I guess, alone in the house. They can't even find the parents as of right now. The last airing on the radio, they had not found the whereabouts of their parents. But the two young boys are in child services. They're in their care right now. So when that parent is found, that parent is going to have to go to court and going to have to stand and give an account of why these two little boys was left alone and unattended. That's what I mean in taking on the sins of your children. Now, when you got a baby and you got a toddler, you got a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, all the way up to 12, they haven't any sin. And if God was to call them home, they would have a seat straight on into heaven. Because they haven't any sin. They don't have a mindset. They don't even know what sin is. You have to have a mind to know what sin is. You know, you have to have a mind to know what crime is in order to commit crime. You have to have an idea of what crime is. You know, you know how to go and get a gun and load it and go out and try to cause some harm to someone. That means that you know what you're doing. You have a mindset of you know what you're doing. And so that's what I mean. When our kids are small, we are responsible for their sins to a certain age. And then they take over for themselves. That means they go to the juvenile detention center. They don't carry them to a jail that they would carry an adult. So they carry them to a juvenile. That's where they carry all the young folks, you know. So that's what I mean. So, the devil told Job, you know, if you cause all this to happen to Job, Job is going to curse you to your face. But that did not happen because Job was an upright man. And he was a man after God's own heart. And that's what living holy brings about. And our sermon on tonight was happiness and holiness. And so when we got holiness inside of us, and we live in that life of holiness, we have God's Spirit indwelled in us, in this temple of ours, in this heart of ours, then we are happy. Because why? We are happy in Jesus. We are happy because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus was that Lamb. And you know they hung Jesus high and they spread them wide on that cross. Hallelujah. And I tell you, Jesus died. The Bible says, to the sun refused to shine. And I tell you, if you have any kind of love in your heart, just to see Jesus just being beaten and I'm telling you, just humanely, because that was a humane death that God endured. You have to have some kind of feelings in you to know that that's disturbing to watch, to see them whipped by Christ. For he was innocent. The Bible says that he did any sin. And neither was a guile found in his mouth. Why, you said, Overseer Ward? Because Jesus Christ was sinless. He didn't come through a fallopian tube like you and I. He didn't come through a woman and a man having sexual encounters. God did not come that way. But God was sent to the Father. And though he was placed in a woman named Mary, and for God knew that she would be the designated candidate for this sinless child, this birth of this baby. And Jesus came to us in flesh and dwelled among us. And even though God is up in heaven right now, he is a spirit. But he came down to earth so he would know what it is for us to hurt, what it is for us to cry, what it is for us to be lonely and abandoned, because God felt like he was abandoned up on that cross. And he said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? You know, sometimes we feel like when our loved ones kick us to the curb, when our friends don't want to have anything to do with us, when our husbands want a divorce, when our wives is looking at another man and she wants out, God knows, hallelujah, what it feels like to be ridiculed, to be scorned, to be talked about, to be spat upon, because he encountered all of those things. But see, you know, God did all of that so we could have a right to the tree of life. So we could have a chance to see Jesus. So we could have a chance to accept God in our lives as our Lord and Savior, our soon coming King. Hallelujah. God did that because he loved us. God didn't get no kick out of going to Calvary Cross. If I could speak for Jesus, and I'm his mouthpiece of bringing you the divine word of God. And if I would speak for God, he didn't get a kick out of going to Calvary Cross. But Jesus, being the obedient son that he was and that he is and that he is to come, he said, it's not my will. I want you to know that. It's not my will that I go. Because I know I got a whole lot to encounter by going. But it's not my will that I go. But it's the will of my Father. Hallelujah. And so we know that Jesus loved us to, I call it, the POD. And that means the point of death. Jesus loved us to the point of death. And they all know Jesus has come up out the tomb, as I first stated earlier. Jesus is in heaven right now, sitting on the right hand of God, right now. And he's looking down on you and I. He's looking down on his creation right now. God never sleeps, nor does he slumber. But he's looking over the good as well as the not so good. Hallelujah. And if I were you and I didn't know God, hallelujah, in the pardons of my iniquity, I would take our time right now and lift both my hands toward heaven and tell God, God, I acknowledge I'm a son and I accept you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to enter into my heart and to dwell inside of me and forgive me for every wrongdoing. And God will immediately forgive you of all of the wrong that you have committed in this life. God will put it in the sea of forgetfulness to remember it anymore. Hallelujah. And before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and pray that this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God. And if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make it attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020 is our zip. Email address, janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. Till we meet again across these highways and skyways, I encourage you to go in God and allow God to go in you. Till we meet again, you be blessed. Bye for now.